Welcome to Liberty Community Chapel Podcast. We're passionate about receiving God's love, reaching out to our community, and relating with one another on this journey of faith. And now, join us as we explore today's message.
You're looking good.
Really not easy. And then when I was deliberating on, I was asking myself, so how is he being able to do it? Because each and every Sunday morning, the pastor comes in here and then he teaches, he speaks the mind of God to us and all that. And then I was like, how is he being able to do it? And then yesterday evening, I was also speaking to a friend of mine. I called him a brother. And then whilst we were having a conversation, he's actually deliberating between two things. And then he needs a final solution. And then I was like, I'm having a conversation with Reverend Emmanuel. So whatever he says, and then the final conclusion, then I'll stick to that. And I asked myself, so how is he being able to do it? And I asked myself, the answer was like, he's fervent in the things that he does. Hallelujah. He's fervent in the things that he does. And then in our month of heat up, it is very, very important for us to tackle being fervent in spirit. Hallelujah. Yeah, we don't have much time, so I'll talk on being fervent and then the significance and importance of being fervent in the spirit of the Lord and the things of the Lord, and then we'll zoom into prayer. Hallelujah. So when you talk about being fervent in the spirit, I would want us to read from the book of Romans chapter 12, the verse number 11. And before I start, I want us all to close our eyes and pray. And our Heavenly Father, even as we've come into thy house, O God, I pray that may you grant unto us utterance, O God. May you speak unto us, O God. May your glory be enshrined in our hearts, O God. And may you, through your word, reveal yourself unto us and teach us thy word. Grant unto us utterance in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 12, the verse number 11. So when you read the book of Romans 12, 11, Paul was actually writing to the church of Corinth and the people of Corinth. And then Paul was enlightening them and advocating them that they need not to be slothful in business. Hallelujah. So do not be slothful in business. The word slothful talks about you not being business, you not being lazy. Hallelujah. Slothfulness talks about you being lazy. And then Paul is saying, do not be slothful in business. So let us ask ourselves, what is the business that Paul was talking about? When you read the Amplified Version, it talks about you being diligent. Hallelujah. When you talk about, okay, thank you. It says, never lag in zeal and earnest endeavor. Okay, and we are glow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Give me the TPT as well, if you have. Okay, so the TPT is be enthusiastic to serve the Lord. Keeping your passion toward him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Keeping your passion. So the KJV said, we should be slothful in business. So what is the business there that we are talking about? We need to understand that as Christians, we have been called to, Christianity is a profession, hallelujah. Christianity is a profession that we need to be excellent at whatever we do. Because Christ in himself has called us to fulfill a particular purpose. So there is a calling on our lives. We were called for a purpose, we were called for a reason. So Paul was enlightening them that do not be slothful in business. That they shouldn't be slothful, they shouldn't be lazy in the things of God. We need to be fervent. So he said, do not be slothful in business. And said, fervent in spirit. So do not be slothful in business. How are you not going to be slothful in business? How are you not going to be lazy in the things of God? How are you not going to be adamant when it comes to the things of God? How are you not going to lack when it comes to the things of God? He said, by being fervent in spirit. Hallelujah. By being fervent in spirit. And then when you talk about the word being fervent in spirit, according to the Greek word that was, or the original translation, it means being emotionally inflamed. By being fervent in spirit, it means being emotionally inflamed. Hallelujah. Being emotionally inflamed, enthusiastic or excited. So if you are being emotionally inflamed, if you are being enthusiastic, if you are being excited when it comes to the things of God, Paul is telling us that we shouldn't be lazy, but rather we should be active when it comes to the things of God. We need to be enthusiastic about the things of God. Being passionate about the things of God. Hallelujah. Because there is a call on upon our lives. And then for us to be able to achieve that purpose, we need to align our interest, our desires to the things of God. Because you being passionate about a particular task, it depends on how zealous you are to that. How attached you are to that. And then your zealousness to a particular thing depends on how attached you are to it. Hallelujah. So normally our parents, especially the mothers, will be like, I'm attached to my children. Why? Because they have mad desires. Their desires, their everything is attached to their kids. So whatever they do, even their sleep, when you wake them up, the first thing, my children, my kids, are they fine? You know, it depends on how attached they are. So Paul is telling us, we need to be attached to the things of God. So now, let's ask ourselves this question. So we have been called to fulfill a particular purpose. How then am I going to be able to be fervent when it comes to the things of God? We need to ask ourselves, do we even understand the call which we have been called into? It is very, very important. So Paul is telling us we shouldn't be slothful in business. So if you are not being slothful in the things of God, what are the things of God? What is the calling upon our lives? Hallelujah. As a body of Christ and as a church of Christ, we need not to be slothful. So I want you to give me Romans 12, the verse number 1. Romans 12, verse 1. So Romans 12, 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Hallelujah. So now, there is a reasonable act of service that we have been called into. Christ Jesus called us, and our calling, I call it a call unto sacrifice. A call to live a particular kind of life. A call to live and demonstrate the love of God. So now, if Christ Jesus has called us into this calling, he said we should offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. So you and I, there is a reasonable act of service that we are supposed to fulfill. There is a reasonable act of service that we are supposed to attain and to achieve and to pursue. And then this reasonable act of service is that which is going to define our business. So now we are going to link we not being slothful, we being fervent in the things of God and to our business. So now we have been called to a reasonable act of service. And then that reasonable act of service is by we living as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, a living symbol unto God. So now, if there is a call upon our lives to live, to be a living sacrifice, to be a symbolic tool to the world, and then we are being slothful, we are being lazy, we wouldn't be able to achieve the aim that we have been called to pursue. Hallelujah. So there is an aim that we are supposed to attain. There is a goal that we are supposed to pursue. And that goal is by demonstrating that reasonable act of service that we have been called into, which is our business. And now the scriptures is telling that we shouldn't be slothful, we shouldn't be lazy. Hallelujah. So now God has said, I beseech you therefore that by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, a living symbol, which is acceptable unto God. Hallelujah. So now, we need to ask ourselves, what defines our interest? What defines our goals as Christians? Because our goals are going to determine and to influence our choices and our decisions and our actions. Because as individuals, in as much as we go around doing our things, go by our daily activities, work, friends, and all that, there is a particular mindset that we have that kind of identify and define who we are. So when you go to the workplace and they mention Mr. A, they'll be like, oh, Mr. A, this is how he is. This is his personality. Mr. B, this is how he is. Why are they saying so? Because of how the person conducts him or herself. And then when you have a conversation with the individual is going to tell you, okay, I do these things and these things because of this and that. So there is something that is identifying the individual, causing him to do and emanate such activities and such behaviors that he's exhibiting. So now we as believers, we as Christians, where we have been called to the call of living a reasonable act of service, and then Paul is telling us that we shouldn't be slothful, we shouldn't be lazy. How then are we going to align our interests to the things of God? Hallelujah. And then when you say the word being fervent in spirit, it actually talks about you being like a pot on fire with water inside bubbling. Hallelujah. So you being fervent in spirit, you being not slothful, it means you are likened to a pot on fire, and that pot has water in it. And that water is actively bubbling. Hallelujah. It's actively bubbling with vapor coming out. Means that water is live and active. Hallelujah. And by virtue of, by mistake, you putting your hands in it, you are going to burn. Hallelujah. So that is the call upon our lives. If Paul is saying that we should be fervent in spirit, that is what Paul is likening us unto. That we need to be sharp, we need to be alive, we need to be active. And this is the amount of heat up. And then if this is the amount of heat up, we need to be alive. We need to be able to let the world know the glory of God in us. Hallelujah. So we've been likened to a water in a pot bubbling. That alone, let's define the characteristics of a water in a pot that is bubbling. One, that water alone is hot. Hallelujah. It is burning. Hallelujah. So you as an individual, Paul is telling us that we need to burn. We need to have that zeal of God. That zeal in us, we need to have that zeal. We need to have that desire, that passion in us. It should burn in us. It should burn in us. So when people encounter us, they will know that they've encountered God. Because our call as Christians is a call unto sacrifice, a call to let the world know that there's this Jesus who came, there's this God who is there, and they need to encounter that God through us. So if Paul is telling us that we shouldn't be slothful, it means we are supposed to go the extra mile. Hallelujah. We need to go the extra mile. Hallelujah. So I said, being fervent is you displaying a passionate intensity. Hallelujah. A burning intensity, a burning zeal, that desire needs to be there. That desire needs to be there. For us to be able to excel in the things of God, we need to have that zeal. That zeal needs to be there. We need not let go of our zeal. We need not let go of our conviction in Christ. Because it is our zeal that is going to define our identity. And let us know that the scripture said that we are from this world, but we are not of this world. We are from this world, but we are not of this world. And we not being of this world, that is defining our identity. We are not of this world. Your makeup is not of this world. That which defines you as a believer is not of this world. That which defines you as a believer is not that which your mom and your dad passed on to you. That which defines you as a believer is of God. For we are one spirit in him. And we are likened unto him. For we have his spirit in us. And hence, we are supposed to live like him. Because we are of him. We are of him. So our source, our makeup is of God. So now, when you take a tree takes its source and its nutrient from the soil, from the ground. So now, we are being likened unto a tree where our source is of God. Hallelujah. We are being likened unto a tree where our source is of God. Our place of nutrient is of God. So we retrieve our source of nutrient, that which causes us to grow from God. So anything that is supposed to help us to survive and to be able to live the Christian life, we are supposed to access it through God. Because we are of him. That is who we are. That is who we are. We are of God. And he said, for you are smaller gods. For you are smaller gods. Why did the scripture say, for ye are smaller gods? It's because of the things that he, the Lord himself, has deposited in us. By virtue of our faith and our confession in Christ Jesus, we became likened unto him. We took upon himself the nature of God. And now we have received the circumcision, which is not of this world. the circumcision which is not made by hands, but the circumcision that we have received is of that which it was through God. That is who we are. For we are one with him. Hallelujah. So now the scriptures talks about God established a covenant with Abraham. Hallelujah. And that covenant was an eternal covenant. So we as believers, we have received that eternal covenant through Christ Jesus. And now we are likened unto God. We are one with him through Christ Jesus. And now Paul is telling us, this is who you are, so do not be slothful. This is who you are, so do not be slothful. But rather be fervent in the spirit of God. But rather be zealous in the things of God. But rather burn in the things of God. We need to pursue the things of God with so much desires. And then I want to tell us that that which we feed ourselves with has a way of defining who we are. The things we feed ourselves with has a way of defining and shaping who we are as individuals. And then knowing that we as believers, as sons of God and as God, we having the Spirit of God in us and we being likened unto him, and we not being slothful, what are we feeding ourselves with? What are we feeding ourselves with? What are we feeding ourselves with? Because yesterday I was deliberating, how are these pastors, how are they able to do it? How are they blending ministry work, family life, personal life, professional life? How are they being able to do it? It's because of how they've attached their interest to the things of God. So that is the point where God is calling us to, that we will attach our interest to the things of God. That we wouldn't be slothful when it comes to the things of God. We wouldn't be lazy. But rather, everything in us is to pursue the things of God. Is to pursue the agenda of God. Hallelujah. So now, I want us to dwell on the importance of being fervent in the spirit in our daily walk with Christ. The importance of being fervent in the spirit in our daily walk with Christ. One, it strengthens our relationship with God. It strengthens our relationship with God. And then, as we read from the book of Romans 12, the verse number 11, we are, as believers, supposed not to lack zeal. Hallelujah. But we are supposed to keep our spiritual favor, serving the Lord. And I wrote here that being fervent in the spirit strengthens our connection with God. It deepens our intimacy with him and allow us to serve him wholeheartedly. Being fervent in the spirit strengthens our connection with God, deepens our intimacy with him, and allow us to serve him wholeheartedly. So now, one of the importance of being fervent in the spirit is strengthening our relationship with God, deepening our intimacy. And the one thing that I've come to believe and know is that Christ Jesus has called us to a place of intimacy. The Lord wants to establish a relationship with us, a place of oneness, a place where we are one with him, a place of koinonia, a place of fellowship where we are one with him. That is what God is expecting of us. So many a times, people, believers, do complain and be like, oh, I'm facing challenges when it comes to my Christian walk. I'm facing challenges. We are all human beings. Hallelujah. We are all human beings where we are subjected to like passions, you know. But then, Christ Jesus is telling us that he is calling us to a place of intimacy, a place of oneness. Regardless of your inefficiencies, regardless of the things that you think that they are holding you back, he said, I'm calling you to a place of oneness. So we need to make sure that we will strengthen our relationship with God. We will be with him. We will fellowship with him, a place of oneness where we are one with him. We have been called to a call of intimacy. That is the call that Christ Jesus has called us into. That will be one with him. Hallelujah. So, what is going to influence our intimacy with God? What is going to influence our relationship with God? By drawing near unto him. By being fervent. By being zealous. And then one thing I want us to understand at the end of the day is that we need to learn to channel our desires to the things of God. We need to channel our desires to the things of God. We need to be able to learn to align our thoughts with the things of God. We need to be able to align our passions with the things of God. Because this is who we are. This is the call that we have been called into. And then God wants a relationship with us. By virtue of you pronouncing him as your Lord and personal Savior, that's not all. He wants you to be one with him. He wants to call us to a place of intimacy where we'll experience him. If you are going to be able to experience the fullness of the God that we serve, we need to have a tangible relationship with him. And by having a tangible relationship with God comes by you being in a relationship with him, by having a fellowship with him, by being one with him. Hallelujah. And by virtue of we being in intimate with the Lord, by virtue of we having a tangible relationship with the Lord, we tend to experience who God is. We tend to be able to experience the realities in God. He begins to enshrine himself in us because now we are intimate with him. We are one with him. We feed of him. And by virtue of that, we'll be able to overcome our inefficiencies as believers. Hallelujah. So one of the importance of fellowship with the Lord is by strengthening our relationship with God. And then it is a conscious decision. It is a conscious decision. We need to make that decision consciously and intentionally that this is what I want and I need to strengthen my relationship with God. Hallelujah. Second point is it keeps us focused on eternal things. One of the importance of being fervent in spirit is that it keeps us focused on eternal things. And I would want us to read from Colossians 3, the verse number 2. Colossians 3, verse 2. Colossians 3, verse 2. It says, set your affections on things above, not on the things on the earth. Hallelujah. One of the important things of being fervent in spirit, one of the important things of being zealous in the things of God is that it helps us shape and set our things on the things above. And I wrote here that a fervent spirit helps us prioritize spiritual matters. A fervent spirit helps us to prioritize spiritual matters over worldly distractions. Keeping our focus on heavenly things and God's kingdom. Hallelujah. By being fervent in spirit helps us to prioritize spiritual matters over worldly distractions. Keeping our focus on heavenly things and on God's kingdom. And then when the scripture says, set your affection on things above, it means setting your mind on the things of God and choosing to think about it. Hallelujah. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. It doesn't mean we should neglect the things of the world. We are from here, but we are not of the world. But this is where we are from. And this is the surrounding which we find ourselves in. And our surrounding has a way of shaping us. Hallelujah. So by setting your eyes on the things above doesn't mean you are neglecting the things of the world. But rather you are prioritizing your focus. You are prioritizing the things that influences your life as an individual. That the things of the world does not influence your choice. But rather the things that influences your choice are the things of God. We are from the world. We live and associate with the men and people of the world. But this is not where we are from. Our identity is of God. And since our identity is of God, we are supposed to set our eyes on the things of God. And the things that we set our eyes on has influence on our lives. Hallelujah. The things that we set our eyes on influences our choices and our decisions. So that's what the scripture is saying, that set your affection on the things above. Your affection defines your attachment. The things you are affected to or you have affectionate for defines the things that you are attached to. So now when it comes to our daily lives, before you'll be able to walk in a relationship with a particular lady and be like you are in love with that lady, it means you have this type of affection for him. And that type of affection is an affection that you've not had for any other lady before. So because of that affection that you have for her, you are attached to her. To a point where if you don't hear from her, you start, you know, is she okay, you know? So it is very, very important as believers to set our affection on the things above. It is very, very important. Hallelujah. To set our desires on the things above, not on the things on earth. Because the things that we feed ourselves with is going to define the things that we are going to be attached to. And our affection defines our attachment. So if as believers, there is a business that we're supposed to pursue, there's a call upon our lives, and there's a task that we're supposed to attain and to achieve, how will we be able to achieve that task? How will we be able to pursue the things of God as expected of us? By setting our affections on the things of God. By setting our affections on the things of God. By setting our affections on the things of God. And the things that you have affection for are the things that you are drawn to. The things that you have affection for are the things that defines you as an individual. The things that you have affection for are the things that normally becomes evidence in your life. Because that defines you as an individual. So scriptures is encouraging us as believers, for we to be able to be fervent in the spirit of the Lord, we need to be able to set our affections on the things above. Hallelujah. So the third point is it empowers us to withstand spiritual battles. Hallelujah. By being fervent in spirit, helps us or empowers us to withstand spiritual battles. Hallelujah. And our focus verse will be Ephesians 6 verse 18. Ephesians 6, the verse number 18. By being fervent in spirit, empowers us to withstand spiritual battles. And Ephesians 6, 18 said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always. Praying always. The first clause, praying always. Praying always. So as believers, we ought to pray. We ought to pray always, in season and out of season. We ought to pray. We ought to pray. And then there's this thing that prayer does. There's this thing that prayer does where you pray to a point where you become one with him. Where you get to tap into the knowledge of Christ, the revelation knowledge of Christ. Hallelujah. We need to pray always. And prayer opens us to a certain realities that by being carnal, you wouldn't be able to experience. Prayer tends to open us to spiritual experiences that goes beyond the mind of man. That goes beyond the compression of man. So it is very, very important for us to be able to pray. And then I wrote here that sometimes life can be difficult. Sometimes life can be challenging. And then for one thing that the devil doesn't want is for us to be blessed and to be successful in our endeavors, even as individuals and even as believers. So in order to face the inevitable attacks that arise against us as believers, that arise against us as individuals and as Christians, we ought to be fervent in the things of God. And one of the ways of being fervent in the things of God is by being prayerful. That we commit ourselves daily to the things of God, to the reading of the word and to the ministry of prayer. That we commit ourselves daily. We will commit ourselves. It is an intentional decision. We will commit. What are you committing yourselves to? What are we committing ourselves to? That we will commit. These are the things that the the early churches did that, they were able to attain good reports. And if we are learning from the early churches, we need to also practice these things. They committed themselves daily to the things of God. And the scripture said that the Lord of God added unto them daily. Hallelujah. As believers, we need to be able to make sure and make that conscious decision that we pray for. Hallelujah. And then it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication, all kinds of prayer. If you give me the amplified version, it says, pray at all times. Pray at all times. On every occasion, in every season. I like this. On every occasion and in every season. In good seasons, in bad seasons, we need to pray. That's what we ought to do. For us to be fervent in the Spirit of the Lord, we need to pray always. And it says, with all manner of prayer, with all manner of prayer, there are several kinds of prayer. And as believers, for us to be able to experience the realities in Christ, we need to be able to pray all kinds of prayer. And I listed three here. We have the prayer of faith. Hallelujah. We as believers need to adopt the use of all kinds of prayers for us to be able to excel in the things of God, for us to be able to abound in the things of God. We need to pray all kinds of prayer. And one is the prayer of faith. Second is the prayer of intercession. The prayer of intercession. And three is the prayer of consecration. Hallelujah. So as believers, it is expected of us to pray. And by praying, we need to make sure we pray all these kinds of prayers. Prayer of thanksgiving. Bless the name of the living God. To let him know and appreciate the things that he's done for us. Prayer of faith. The scripture said that the elders of old were able to achieve good reports by virtue of their faith in God. We need to be able to pray the prayer of faith. Why we call things into being as if though they were. That's who we are. By praying prayer of faith. There are sometimes we need to sit to enforce the will of God. It says, Lord, show us to pray. And it says, that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it means God himself has a will for us. God himself has a will for us. And how will his will be enforced on earth? If you are going to pray. For the Lord searches upon the surface of the earth, looking for who is going to search for him and the things of him. We need to pray, hallelujah, and pray the prayer of faith, prayer of consecration, and prayer of intercession, hallelujah. And I wrote here that fervent prayer equips us to resist temptation. Fervent prayer helps us to resist temptation, to overcome trials, and stand firm when it comes to our walk with Christ. Hallelujah. Fervent prayer equips us to resist temptation. And the scripture said the effectual fervent of prayer of the righteous man availeth much. The effervent, hallelujah. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. So we need to be fervent. What kinds of prayer are we praying? Hallelujah. So let's go to the... Okay, should I tackle this? All right, let me deal with this before we go to the fourth point and then resume into prayer. I have a few minutes. Hallelujah. I don't have much time. So I wrote here, that no matter how anointed you are, we need to know this, that no matter how anointed you are, no matter how skillful you are, no matter how gifted you are, or you may be, or courageous you are, you simply cannot maintain a victorious position in life apart from prayer. No matter how gifted you are, no matter how skillful you are, no matter how anointed you are, we need prayer. Hallelujah. So our fourth point is it motivates us to serve and witness effectively. It motivates us to serve and witness effectively. Hallelujah. And we need to know that a fervent spirit ignites our passion for serving others. We need to know this. That a fervent spirit ignites our passion for serving others, sharing the gospel, and using our spiritual gift to impact others for Christ. One of the importance of being fervent in spirit, that it will motivate you to serve others and witness to others. Why so? Because a fervent spirit ignites our passion for serving others. Hallelujah. And this point actually reminds me of usually when we become born again in our early stages, you know. I remember back in senior high school, I became born again. And then let me share this story of mine. So I have been that boy who my mom has always been taking me to church and all that. That Breman boy. You know? And then when I was going to the senior high school, I was like, nah, I've been in church so many times that I need to experience other things as well. So now church. And then when I was going, I was a youth president. At that age, like going to senior high school, I was the youth president of my church. But I was like, nah, I need to go and experience other things. So I went in there, and I remember on our first entertainment, glory. Oh, I danced, hallelujah. I did things, hallelujah. And then, unfortunately for me, when I came in, I found myself in a dormitory where it was full of pastors, campus pastors, you know. And you're like, right. Why are you trying to disgrace us? This is who we are on campus. And you are our son, school father. And then if you are doing this, what are they going to speak of us? That we can't even train our sons in the way that we are preaching. So how then will we be able to impact them? So that day, they didn't allow me to walk in the dormitory. They gave my towel, my sponge, everything to me. I knelt down for about an hour. And they told me to go wash down before I come into the dormitory. Hallelujah. But then God had his own way of doing things. And then I remember Father Zion, every Sunday you'll be in church. Okay, when he's going for church, I'll miss my dining. I'll miss my breakfast. Right, let's go. You know? And then he was the Sunday school superintendent then. So whenever he's leading Bible studies, he'd be like, right, I learned you said you have a submission to make, so speak. Right, I learned you have this. And then it was a way of shaping me. It was a way of shaping me. And then when I became born again and understood, I don't want to use the word born again, but when I understood the call that has been called onto my life, every Saturday morning you see me at the dormitory preaching. You know, we are out there preaching. And I remember one senior of mine, a lady came, walked up to me and said, right, are you the one not allowing us to sleep? I'm like, oh, please, you know, SU, you know, scripture in you, we are going. The zeal, I will wake up, it will be very, very cold, but then I'll put on my school cardigan and I'll go out there to preach. So because of the zeal that I had, I didn't pay attention to my surroundings. Because of the zeal that I had, I didn't pay attention to the things that I could risk my life for. Because I remember back then in senior high school, even doing Taco and Milos, we'll go and pray. Morale is going on, we are praying. Hey! Hallelujah. We go into the bush, hide and pray because of the zeal we had. But then I realized to a point, I got to a point in my final year days, I was being complacent. You know, complacency setting. And then a friend of mine, Lee Bless, who come, right? You are going to OCE. There was a college of education after our senior high school. Okay, you are going there to pray. You're like, oh God, it's risky. You know, it's wishing. Complacency had set in. And now my zeal had been affected. And because the zeal had been affected, I was now focusing on the physical things around me. So it is very, very important. Hallelujah. That as believers, because of the zeal that we had, it will push us to preach the word of God. It will push us to do the things of God. So now if you are living a Christian life where we tend to question our life, we need to question the zeal that we have. We need to question the fire in us. If you realize that you are not being able to make impact, question your desires. Do you still have that burning sensation in you? Do you still have that desire in you to pursue the things of God? Hallelujah. So, our last point, then we zoom into prayer because we don't have much time. Hallelujah. One of the importance of being fervent in the Spirit of God and the things of God is that it helps you to reflect the love and devotion we have for God. It helps us to reflect on the love and devotion we have for God. And then we'll be reading from Matthew 22, the verse number 37. Matthew 22, the verse number 37. Matthew 22, the verse number 37. It says, and he replied to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Hallelujah. And I like he put intellect and replied to him that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. I wrote here that being fervent in spirit is a demonstration of our love and our devotion to God, showing him that we prioritize him above all else in our lives. As a body of Christ and as a church and as individuals, we need to be able to exhibit our love for God. And then it should reflect in our daily living. Our love for God needs to reflect in our lives. Hallelujah. And then we need to also reflect on the love and devotion we have for God. It should be a daily thing. It should be a daily thing where we reflect on ourselves. We reflect on ourselves. We reflect. Sit down. Analyze yourself. As a body, analyze your body. As a soul, analyze your soul, your emotions, your thoughts. Then analyze your spirit being as well. Because all these three define who we are. And then if, especially your emotions, your mind, your intellect is being fed with things that are not of God, loving God will be very, very difficult. Loving God will be very, 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 very difficult. I remember there was a time back in Ghana, I used to work in the hospital, and then this old man walked in with his wife. And then I asked him, how were you able to stick to your wife throughout your entire marriage with her? And then he was like, my son, it's not that easy as you see it to be. Because even sometimes he needs to tell himself that, hey, I love my wife. Regardless of who she is, I love my life. I appreciate my wife. Because he would tell me, hey, he was a young guy, rich, had money. He would go out, he would meet different types of ladies, you know, who can surpass the beauty of his wife. But he would tell himself, no, I love my wife. He reflects on the love that he had, the desire that he had for her when he met her at the early stages. And that kept him going. And that kept him going. So as believers, we need to make sure that we reflect on the love that we have for God. Hallelujah. And our love for God is going to shape our zeal and our desires for him. Hallelujah. So we have about 16 minutes, and I want us all to be on our feet and then zoom into prayer. Hallelujah. I want us to be on our feet and begin to bless the name of the living God for his word that he has given us. We are blessing the Lord for his word that he has given unto us. and his knowledge that he has revealed unto us, that we need to be fervent in spirit, O God. Kalo Shabrandeba.